Stay tuned for more Jazz America with me, Russ Davis, right after the news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting, topping the news. Islamic State says airstrike kills U.S. hostage. U.S. officials said Friday it cannot confirm Islamic State a claim that a Jordanian airstrike killed a female American aid worker held hostage by the group. National Security Advisor Susan Rice spoke with reporters.
We do not at the present have any evidence to corroborate ISIL's claims. But obviously we'll keep reviewing the information at hand.
The American aid worker was identified by her family as Kayla Mueller. Islamic State said she was killed when a Jordanian airstrike hit the building where she was being held in the Syrian city of Raqqa. Jordanian officials call the Islamic State's claim criminal propaganda. Mueller was taken by the Islamic State when she was leaving a hospital in the Syrian city of Aleppo in 2013. U.S. intelligence officials said Friday they believe the Nigerian Islamic group Boko Haram consists of between 4,000 and 6,000 hardcore fighters. This came as Boko Haram attacked two towns in neighboring Niger and were driven back by forces from Niger and Chad. Niger's defense minister said his forces killed 109 militants during the attacks. Four Niger soldiers were killed. Talks in Moscow between Russian President Vladimir Putin and leaders of France and Germany on a peace proposal for Ukraine have ended without an immediate deal to end the 10-month pro-Russia rebellion in Ukraine's east. In Brussels on Friday, U.S. Vice President Joe Biden accused Russia of continuing to escalate the conflict in Ukraine. Moscow maintains it is not supporting separatist rebels in eastern Ukraine. This is VOA News. The annual security conference in Munich, one of the world's largest gatherings of political leaders focusing on security issues, opened Friday with stark warnings over the current climate of threats. British Defense Secretary Michael Fallon raised the current situation in eastern Ukraine and the threat from the Islamic State group as particular threats to Western European countries.
These are very direct threats to us. The aggression from Russia is a direct threat to NATO. The threat from ISIL is a threat to our streets, the streets of Paris, of Brussels, of London, and even the resurgence of Boko Haram is in the end a threat to North Africa and the southern flank of Europe as well. So these are direct threats to the European part of NATO, and it does mean that we have to shoulder a larger part of the burden.
The Munich Security Conference runs until Sunday. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has urged Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif to meet a March deadline for a framework deal to rein in Iran's nuclear program. Iran and a group that includes the U.S., Britain, China, France, Russia, and Germany have been trying to reach an agreement as part of their years-long effort to resolve questions about Iran's nuclear activity. They have given themselves until July 1st to agree to a final deal. So-called P5+1 group wants Iran to scale back its nuclear activity and to ensure it's not developing nuclear weapons. Iran has insisted its nuclear program is peaceful and wants the repeal of sanctions that have hurt its economy. Yemen's Houthi rebel group announced on Friday suddenly that the country's old political institutions were being dissolved and that a new interim parliament and presidential council were being named. Edward Uranian has details.
Houthi rebel supporters released barrages of fireworks across the Yemeni capital Sana'a Friday evening to celebrate the announcement that the country's old political institutions were being dissolved. Houthi opponents are calling the development a coup. Hundreds of Houthi supporters gathered at Yemen's Republican Palace earlier Friday applauded the announcement that a new parliament was going to be named, along with a new 5-member presidential council to rule the country. Edward Uranian, Cairo.
Equatorial Guinea's Football Federation was fined $100,000 on Friday after at least 36 people were injured when angry home fans threw bottles and rocks and clashed with riot police during their team's semifinal loss in the African Cup of Nations. Riot police fired tear gas at Equatorial Guinea fans, and Ghana fans were escorted out of the stadium by security for their own safety.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
This is Russ Davis. Welcome to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with some of the artists who attended the recent Jazz Connect Conference in New York City. This hour, we'll talk to Jason Moran and Greg Osby. The Jazz Connect Conference is a chance for the jazz community to gather from all over the world and speak with one another about how to advance jazz. It's a celebration of jazz, there is no doubt. Its glorious history, its present state, and with always a look to the future. Many jazz musicians were there, along with professionals in the world of jazz, from writers to bloggers to people who present jazz programs all over the world and all over the country, those that hire jazz musicians to perform in festivals and concert halls and clubs, and those who record jazz and make it a living, breathing art form. It's really an exciting gathering for 3 days every winter time in New York City. Many jazz musicians are there to state their case and to speak with one another and with the public about how they conduct their business in the 21st century. And two of the prominent jazz musicians who were there were the great Christian McBride, who gave us the State of Jazz Today conference keynote speech. I hope to share some of that with you in the future here on Jazz America. We'll hear from him in a big band setting. But first, another big band from the world of Latin jazz. Arturo O'Farrill was there as one of the members of one of the panels, and here he is with his Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra from his album The Offense of the Drum, the Grammy-nominated work, with a song entitled Alma Vacía, to begin this hour of VOA's Jazz America. Mr. Christian McBride from his Christian McBride big band album called The Good Feeling, with a big band version of a song he's done in a small group setting called Brother Mister, one of his most famous compositions. He's become quite the prolific composer these days, writing new standards for jazz, for big band and small group, as I mentioned. Christian McBride was a prominent figure at the recent Jazz Connect convention here in New York City, giving the keynote address and serving on various panels. He certainly knows what it means to diversify, as not only is he a fine composer, player, band leader, sideman, etc., but also a broadcaster. He is now the host of a show on National Public Radio here in the United States of America called Jazz Night in America. So, a busy man, Christian McBride. Another busy man is Mr. Jason Moran. Let's talk further with him and hear some of his latest work, his celebration of Fats Waller, here on Jazz America. You mentioned something interesting in this seminar here, though. You said something along the lines of, we have to spend so much time in the practice room. Now, in the day and age today that we're in, as a jazz musician, quote-unquote, you have to cobble together lots of different things, many people do, just to make a living, just to pay the rent. Now, how much does all this extra stuff that you have to do, as not you specifically, but in general, take away from creating the art, which is really what drives all of these activities?
Well, hopefully what you're generating by having to focus on some of these is you're generating opportunity. Whether it's an opportunity to play at your local church or an opportunity to play, you know, with your local union on like a gig, you know, like, so where, what kinds of opportunities can you generate for yourself? Because that's initially what it's going to take. You know, do your parents or your family love the way you play so much that they're going to try to tell everybody to hire you for their events? You know, yeah. Like, that's what my parents did for me.
Understood.
And so... Now in the state where you have to kind of promote yourself, right? You have to have some kind of online presence. How do you do this? And I think, but it's almost like the ones who are established are established. So they're out there. They're going to figure out their way. The new ones don't even necessarily, I don't even know if they think about it as a burden, because it's just a way of life to, for them. Because they already participated in it on a very private basis with their own friends. So to tell your friends that you have a gig is not like a deep thing to do. I never would tell my friends I had a gig, you know, like it was like, because the technology wasn't there. Like 15 years ago, there was no, you know, the way you got made a poster and you tried to put it out so that people would see it, or you call me, I have a gig, you know. But now it's, you have a way of getting in the face of a lot of people. Now, what that does not do, as you say, this does not make you a better musician.
Yes, yes.
You do understand some things about relationships to people, but it doesn't make you a better musician. And that part, and that's okay. You don't have to be great, but you do have to like realize that to make something that's substantial is much harder than sending an email.
Well, you young players listening around the world, you just got a quick master class from one of the young masters of this business.
Jumping, leaves no single doubt that everything is in full swing when you hear somebody shout. This joint is jumping, it's really jumping. Come on, captain, check your hats. I mean, this joint is jumping. Piano's thumping, dancers bumping. Come on, captain, check your hats. I mean, this joint is jumping. Jumping, it's really jumping. Come on, catch me.
check your hats. I mean, this joint is jumping. Piano stomping, dancers bumping. Come on, cats, and check your hats. I mean, this joint is jumping.
From vocalist, bassist, and producer Michelle Indigacello, that is The Joint Is Jumpin' from Jason Moran's latest release, All Rise, a joyful elegy of Fats Waller. And as I mentioned earlier, Jason Moran hails from Texas. Well, so do a number of great tenor saxophone players with a big, hearty sound, among them David Fathead Newman, one of those of a group known as the Texas Tenors. From his album Song for the New Man, let's enjoy a piece entitled Fastlane on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you.
One of those great Texas tenor saxophonists, David Fathead Newman, here on Jazz America. Now, he hails from Texas, and lots of other great jazz musicians came from the place they call the Lone Star State. Well, the gentleman you're just about to hear from later on in this edition of Jazz America, Greg Osby, who I caught up with at the Jazz Connect Conference, he hails from another very musical state, St. Louis, Missouri, in the center of the USA. He's coming up with his comments and his music, but first, I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazz. America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message, a very nice message too, I received from Johnson Okwu Kamalu. He is from Port Harcourt in Nigeria, and he wrote me a very nice message. Hi, Russ, you're a really great jazz host, best I've heard on radio since the legendary Willis Conover. I'm one of your regular but silent fans. I decided to break my silence by writing to you now for the first time because you add real colors to my weekend with the kind of selections of songs you play. I thank you for going to such length and making such awesome selections. I want you to know that you have a regular listener here in the small city of Port Harcourt and cares so much about your show. Thank you so much for the great jazz music you play for your listeners worldwide. Regards, Johnson Okwu Kamalu. Thank you so much, Johnson, and I am going to honor your kind message with some music dedicated to everyone who loves the new African jazz, as made by artists like Somi, S-O-M-I, who happened to attend the Jazz Connect conference that we're focusing on this edition of Jazz America. She participated in a couple of panels and made some brilliant statements about how jazz is now a worldwide art form, and she is a big part of why that's happening, with albums like her newest, the Lagos Music Salon. She has quite a story. Born in the state of Illinois, and then her family, when she was 3, moved to Zambia, then back to Champlain, Illinois, where her father was a teacher at the college there. And then she decided to go to Nigeria. And she lived there for over a year to gain the inspiration to make the music you're about to hear. She spends her time between New York City and Lagos, Nigeria these days, and with great effect on her music, as you'll hear. Here's Somi, here on VOA's Jazz America.
It's been overcast and somewhat gray, but blue's not the color that'll wear today. I want some sparkle and I want something more. Brewing inside me is a lover's
thorn. You are the firstborn son.
Could you be the one?
Hi, this is Steve Kahn, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
Thank you.
Great guitarist Steve Kahn, who you may know, is the son of the famous writer Sammy Kahn, who wrote classic songs like Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and others. Steve has carved out his own special place in modern jazz as a great electric guitar player primarily, and a player of Latin music and jazz stylings with improvisation. What a wonderful style he creates on the song entitled Heard, from Steve Kahn's latest work, Subtext. I wanted to play that for you because, first, it's a beautiful piece of music, and second, it was written by Greg Osby, another of my special guests on this edition of Jazz America that I had a chance to speak to at the recent Jazz Connect conference. Here I am in the presence of saxophonist, composer, and now impresario of his own career with your own record label and etc., Greg Osby. Greg, great to see you, my friend.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks.
At this point in history, here we are, the second decade of the 21st century, and you've been at this for some decades now at this point, even though you still look like you're about 12 years old. I don't know what you're having for lunch, but later I'll have one of those.
Excellent.
Things have changed over the years, and so many of us are now forced to be the boss of our own career 100%. In the old days, it was kind of, I write songs, I play this instrument, I find some guys to do it with me, and we go do some shows and record some records, and everything's fine. Now it's not as simple as that, right?
Not at all. I mean, it's we've entered into an era where artists have to be more hands-on, more proactive in the development and the the promotion of themselves and their career. They have to wear multiple hats and know a little bit about everything. Every role that was formerly doled out to various entities and individuals, management, promotion, publicity, tour management, negotiation, everyone has to verse themselves on the processes of each structure. And it's a win-win situation, really, because it's better to have that knowledge so you can have an educated dialogue with the people who you're dealing with, and you're not led around like the old days, mm-hmm. where people just did as they were told, mm-hmm. and oftentimes they were led astray because they just had that level of trust. So it's great, to have a hand in the cooking jar.
I went to see Dee Dee Bridgewater doing Billie Holiday on Broadway, mm-hmm. and in the course of the dialogue, she got the point out there, a point of history,
that Billie Holiday, I'm getting shivers talking about this, only got a handful of dollars for the sides that she cut back in the day. So things have certainly changed, and you have to be in charge of your own interests. But when you get down to it, Greg, isn't it picking up the horn and expressing yourself and writing the song that you feel that is really the essence? And how much of a distraction is all of this activity?
It's a huge distraction, but, it, you know, as things, as they change and they, I mean, you have to mutate. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to metamorphose into what the demands of the industry require.
Mm-hmm.
And it's advantageous mm-hmm. to be able to contour your career the way you see it and to have a hand in that as opposed to winding up bitter because, you look around and say, how did I get here? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, musicians aren't cattle. They don't need to be steered or pulled around through the ring in their nose. They should be a leader, and they should have, you know, better level of access and control, but also be team players.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, you know, as things have changed and things have moved forward, you know, you have to, you know, move forward with it.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of moving forward with it, that's adapting to the styles of music that are available for you to be inspired by, including hip-hop. Here is Greg Osby with his jazz and hip-hop marriage from the album 3D Lifestyle. The song is Street Jazz on Jazz America from VOA1.
Something like this. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Musicians from St. Louis, Missouri, in the center of the USA on the Mississippi River. You just heard the legendary Clark Terry, 94 years old and going strong. From his 1990 release, Having Fun, you heard the song The Snapper, and Street Jazz from 3D Lifestyle from St. Louis saxophonist Greg Osby preceding that. This is Russ Davis. Thanks for listening, and join me next week as one of the reigning queens of jazz vocalizing, Carmen Lundy, invites us backstage to the Jazz Standard in New York City to have a conversation with her and a listening session to her two latest albums, Changes and Soul to Soul. Carmen Lundy backstage at the Jazz Standard in New York City next week on Jazz America.